Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Ralph Basham, Director of the U.S. Secret Service. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel.
Ralph, what's your role and responsibility as Director of the Secret Service?
Well, Dave, my role is not unlike the role of any chief executive in that I have the overall responsibility for managing the day-to-day sort of global affairs of the United States Secret Service. But I also I see my role as being there to support the mission of the organization, and whether that means getting them the resources or getting them the training or working through Congress and the administration to ensure that that funding is there to provide them with those tools to get the job done. It's also to keep the organization focused on the mission of the organization. And as we discussed, it is a dual mission of both investigations and protection. And to make sure that we maintain a balance between those two functions. On the one hand, it is the strength of our organization to have the dual mission. On the other hand, it also at times can be the Achilles heel. In that we need to constantly be looking at shifting resources as demand requires. And as you know, last year being an election year was an incredibly demanding year for the service in that we had a number of special security events, plus the campaign, the conventions. But I also had to make sure that the organization was continued to be focused on our responsibilities to the financial sector, in that we are the service provider to the financial sector for criminal activities that you know, continue to go on regardless of whether or not there's a campaign for the presidency or not. So it's my responsibility to make sure we keep those balanced, to make sure that our personnel have the tools that they need to get that done, and that we are constantly looking for opportunities to improve upon our mission requirements, and whether it's technology or other things out there that I need to bring to bear. So it's not unlike any other CEO in government or outside of government.
What are the strategic goals of the Secret Service?
Well, I just hit upon one. We have got to look to technology. Technology, we recognize, is going to be the key if we are going to be successful in the future in combating the threats and challenges in both of our dual missions. The goal is to ensure that the level of resources are appropriate to the responsibilities. I can tell you that, for instance, last year during the campaign, as again I said, we are a relatively small organization. We put 1.7 million hours of overtime on our people of that in addition to the regular hours. And the goal here is to balance the workforce so that we are not putting those kinds of demands on our people on a quadrennial basis. And so to get that balance and to make sure that we have the ability to meet the mission requirements and at the same time not put our people through such a rigorous year as that. So it's looking at technology. It's looking at the workforce and the requirements of the workforce is the goal that we're trying to work toward. And the Congress, the administration has been very, very supportive, I have to say, along those lines. But recognizing that, you know, our strategies and have to be aligned with those goals and strategies of the administration as well and the Congress.
Let's focus for a minute on a different piece of the mission that you have. There are events that become designated as National Special Security Events, or NSSEs.
Right.
How many of those do you average a year?
Well, it's difficult to say that we have an average because last year, for example, we had five. We had the G8, which is the Group of Eight meetings in Sea Island, Georgia, which was designated a National Special Security Event. On the heels of that, literally on the heels of that, the funeral of former President Reagan was designated as a National Special Security Event. We had the two conventions, which were the Democratic and Republican conventions in Boston and in New York, and we had the inauguration. And each one of those brings with it its own challenges. But the idea is to, when one of these are designated by the Secretary of Homeland Security as a national special security event, the Secret Service is charged with the design and the plan and the implementation of an operational security plan. And that is to bring all of the elements of the federal government to the table to ensure that where you have these gatherings of large people, that a process is in place to bring whatever elements, whatever components that are necessary to pull that off in a safe, secure way. The FBI is charged as the lead investigative agency for a national special security event, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency is charged with the consequence management for those events, so that the three entities come together as a group and discuss all of the facets of that particular event and make sure that the planning and the other responsibilities have been coordinated. And it's all about coordinating those federal assets.
If we look at one event like the inauguration, we'll just use that as an example, what do you need to do to be able to design and plan and implement security with things like state and local authorities, the local police department? What are some of the things you need to do to be able to coordinate security?
Well, first of all, let me just say that none of these events could be done without the support and cooperation of state, local, and other federal law enforcement, as well as public safety and first responders being brought together. Now, the one advantage of an inauguration is we know that it's going to happen every 4 years. Now, this was the first inauguration following the 9/11 attacks. But the planning of the inauguration has been going on for some time. Clearly, it was an elevated threat situation when you have that number of people coming together. But we have been doing this for many years. In fact, we go back to, I believe, the first one that we were involved in was in 1886 or something. So we know that the various elements that go into the planning is fairly basic. You know, we know the sites that have to be secured. We know how those sites should be secured. The challenge is being able to bring the resources in and finding the resources, and without the Metropolitan Police Department, without Capitol Police, without the U.S. Park Police, without the Department of Defense, there's absolutely no way that that could have been accomplished without those partnerships that have been in place for many, many years. But it's really, Dave, the basics are there, and it is really expanding upon those basics as the challenges change. 9/11 clearly brought about a higher level of threat, but we look at not only what we are presented with on the surface, but we look what's under the surface and we look what's above the surface. So whether it's air or whether it's land or whether it's sea or whether it's subterranean, we have to look at every aspect of it to make sure that package is put together and that safe and secure package is in place for not just the president, but also the public as well. And that's quite a challenge, as you can imagine.
Your investigative mission also includes a forensic services division. Could you tell us about the services this division provides?
Well, the Secret Service's Forensic Services Division provides forensic examination of whether it be documents or whether it be handwriting. It is literally a forensic examination that has been done by experts, whether it is a letter threatening the President of the United States or whether it's a financial instrument that's suspected of being forged. We have the capability of examining those documents, that handwriting. We have one of the largest supplies of inks in the world that we can do comparisons with. We have one of the largest files on handwriting samples that we can use to determine whether or not someone who may have shown a direction of interest toward the president has done it in the past. So it's an investigative tool that is used and presented, you know, in court by experts based upon that forensic examination of whatever evidence they are presented. Now, we also are in a partnership with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And we do a lot of work with them in forensic examination of evidence to help support their role in protecting our nation's children. So whether it's fingerprints or handwriting or inks, we have that capability of examining those and comparing those to known sources.
That's interesting, especially about the supply of ink. Technology is changing our lives, but it's also changing crime in the way criminals approach it. What management challenges do the Internet and BlackBerries present the Secret Service? We'll ask its director, Ralph Basham, about these when the Business of Government Hour continues.